Joining me now on our June edition of Our Town is Chief Michael Schick. He is the new IGA director and the chief of Sayosa Valley Fire and Rescue. And good morning or good day to you.
Oh, good day to you. Thank you for having me today.
So you came in the month of May and kind of hit the ground running. I remember there was a fire that kind of started things off your first week there.
Right, Thursday morning or Thursday evening, and then we had an additional car fire Friday morning. So it was a busy night.
Busy night. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your background, your careers in service there. Where did you hail from originally, maybe prior to your last employment there? That's one of the things that happens.
Sorry about that.
We do have that.
Yeah, no, I've been in the fire service a little over 25 years. I originally started out as a volunteer firefighter in a little community in Colorado, Louisville, Colorado. And started out as working as a research scientist in Colorado. And that's how we got there. And my wife and I both grew up in Vancouver, Washington, so we're Pacific Northwest natives. But we started in Louisville, Colorado, and a little town that had a volunteer fire department. And I thought, well, I'll try that, and absolutely fell in love with it. And had the opportunity. It was after about 10 years of being a volunteer, they said, why don't you become our fire chief?
Wow.
So I started that, and haven't regretted that at all. I mean, it was.
What was your education and research? What was that in?
Okay, I was working for a pharmaceutical research company. I have actually a doctorate in microbiology.
Wow.
I was an immunologist, and I was very fortunate, very blessed to have educational opportunities and a wife and family that really supported that. And so that's how we ended up there. And pharmaceutical company I was working for, it was in Boulder, Colorado. And as happens to a lot of pharmaceutical companies, we were bought out by a larger company. And then after a few years, they decided they were going to close that facility and move everybody to Chicago. And we loved Colorado. It was a perfect place to raise our kids. And then this opportunity with the fire department came up. So I was their first career employee. So it was a great opportunity.
So you had a chance to choose Chicago or Colorado.
Exactly. And I love Chicago. It's a great place to visit and visited it many times. But yeah, no, it was, they figured, you know, as far as being in pharmaceutical research, it's not the most stable profession to be in because that happens to a lot of companies. So I had this opportunity to do something I love and took it. And so that worked out very well for us.
So you mentioned family.
Yes.
Kids.
Have two kids. Have a son and daughter. They're both still in Colorado. Both married. In fact, my daughter just got married in January, so that was a lot of fun to do that. And then my wife will be married 36 years coming up at the end of the month. So,
wow.
Like I said, we're Pacific Northwest native, both of us, and we thought we'd always come back. And my parents and a lot of her family still live in the Vancouver area. And so that opportunity opened up on Camino Island, which is about an hour north of Seattle. And this very last-second opportunity. And it was a chance for us to get back and be a little bit closer to my parents. My dad was having a lot of health issues, so that worked out very well for us to get up there. We weren't really looking at, you know, we have to drive through Seattle to get down to my parents. So it actually turned out it's quicker to fly from Denver to Portland and drive across the river than it is to drive from Camino to Vancouver.
Yeah, it's quite a drive there. I-5 is kind of messy.
Exactly. So, you know, always keeping your eye out for other opportunities and saw this one at Siuslaw Valley and with the EMS. And I was the EMS chief in Colorado as well. And things I'd love to do, love the EMS side as well as the fire side. And I am a paramedic, so, you know, it's near and dear to my heart.
What
and,
don't you do?
I mean, well, you know, small departments, you have to do everything.
Right, right,
you
right.
have to, so you have to understand budgets, you have to understand HR, fire, and EMS. So, and that's what I love about it. I mean, there's always something new coming
right.
up. Yeah. So,
and it's the same, the day's never the same. Every day's new.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's always something new coming up. And of course, coming to a new department, everything's new. And just finding my way around, and thank goodness we have GPSs now on vehicles, and things like that. And both the fire department and the ambulance district are right in their budget preparations. So that's always good to you know, get in depth into budgets and see how they're prepared. And luckily, I've got fantastic people, you know, that report to me, and then they can prepare the budgets and just with a little oversight. And they keep me up to speed, which is good.
Now, is the intergovernmental agreement something you have experienced before, or is this
no? And that's sort of unique to Oregon, the state of Oregon. There's not a lot of other, you know. And I've got experience in Colorado and Washington, and there are. You'll have districts combining efforts, but not really an IGA. They may form a fire authority. They may provide administrative assistance. But right here in Oregon, well, actually the IGA, and they want to form a third entity, which is the unique part. I mean, the IGA, you'll have that with a lot of districts around the country, I think. But this third entity, and I don't know how many people know about that, but it's something that I've had to come up to speed with very quickly, where they're going to have, you know, admin oversight will actually be a distinct third entity, essentially, is what they call it. So that's new. But
yeah, we'll have to get into how that looks. I haven't really delved into that too much myself as far as that goes, but I guess that's kind of the direction they're wanting to go right now.
It is, and they're looking at a July 1st start date. It won't affect service for any of the citizens in the area, which is nice. It'll just hopefully there'll be some cost savings. Hopefully, you know, there'll be some areas where we can improve efficiencies. So that's something that I've had to become familiar with very quickly as well.
Now, obviously, you know, all work and no play, as they used to say. What are some of the things you like to do when you're not working?
Well, so far we've loved walking on the beach. We have a rental home right now. Before we have purchased a home, we haven't closed on it yet, but I'm staying up in the Hasita Beach area, and walking on the beach has been a lot of fun. We love to go camping. We've got a little motor home that my wife and I, and we have two small dogs, two little Shih Tzus, who have turned out they love the beach as well, which is a lot of fun. Love to fish. Have hunted in the past, not recently. Where we were living up there in Washington, it really wasn't conducive to hunting. But I do love to fish, love to be in the outdoors.
Have you experienced any of the dune activities as far as?
Not recently.
I mean, because you may have to get familiar with it, emergency responding at some point.
Exactly. You know? We had a call out on the dunes yesterday. In the years past, we've brought our kids here to vacation. So we have been out on the dunes. It's just not this in the last couple of years. But no, we were familiar with the area before we even came out here. So that makes it nice. No, but are looking forward to getting out on the dunes and not an emergency aspect, but just having fun doing some of that.
Have you discovered, you said you had experience here before, but have you discovered some of the eateries and the things to do as far as?
Oh, goodness. Yes. We've loved to go out to eat and all the people that we've been meeting that want to take us out to dinner or have dinner with us. So yes, we've hit a lot of them. I can't say all of them, but we're working through the restaurants and fantastic restaurants. We're very impressed with the quality.
So your first 90 days, what do you see as some of the priorities that you want to hit? Obviously, getting to know the system.
And the people, and that's very important. Budget is very big. I know with the fire district, they're looking at potentially their mill levy rate, the levy rate going up to where it used to be. And I think the long-range planning, which is one of my areas of expertise, is strategic planning, which I think is one of the reasons they brought me in, is looking towards the future and you know, how do we prepare for that? You know, are we going to be ready for what we're going to need in the next 5 to 10 years? So learning the budgets, you know, how they're applied to all the districts, and then finding out where the issues are and you know, what, you know, not only the people that work for me or work for the ambulance district and the fire district, but citizens. You know, what do they expect from their emergency responders? What do they want to see, you know, in the future? So it's there's a lot of things to come up to speed with really quick.
Well, I know strategic planning, part of that is out of your hands when you look at the fact that, you know, we're going to be growing, we're changing the way we're doing codes, we're adding more density to some of the internal land use as far as being able to add accessory dwelling units and things like that. How do those kind of things affect how you plan for services in the future?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at, you see traffic circles all the time coming up in a lot of communities, and I haven't seen any in Florence.
Well, but we're thinking of one.
Yes,
I understand.
Absolutely. So some of the things we got to look at, you know, can a fire truck get around that traffic circle? Some are pretty small, and you know, fire engines and our ladder truck, you know, have the long wheelbase. So it's looking at things like that.
I go around Bend. There's some traffic circles up there heading to the mountain. A four-tire vehicle can't even get around those.
Exactly. So that's important to be part of the planning process. So, you know, we can give them, these are the dimensions of our vehicles. Can we do that? And when you get to, you know, multiple story buildings, you know, it's, and how is the water supply? And we do have an aerial apparatus. We're very fortunate to have one in this community. But is that going to be adequate? And then you look at the impact on call volumes. You know, I believe there's an assisted living facility that's thinking about coming in. Mm-hmm. How is that going to impact our call volume, and are we ready for that? And it's, you know, it's part of that planning process. And you know, we're not the first community to add things like this. So you look around and see what other people are doing. So it's future. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of change. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the fun part of this job is trying to plan for that.
Well, I've looked at some of the other communities locally. We seem, though, to be one of the ones that has the potential for a large amount of growth in the next 5 to 10 years, as long as we can keep up with the housing and stuff like that. So that's really going to affect, you're going to have new people, new volunteers, you know, all that stuff.
And that's a good point, especially with the fire department, who are mainly volunteer. And, you know, I started out as a volunteer firefighter, and that's near and dear to my heart. And it's just getting so difficult to recruit volunteers and to retain them. That's an ongoing process with us, and because it's getting to be very difficult. I mean, with the training and the certifications, and then when you start adding on, you know, numerous calls, especially in the middle of the night. I mean, these are men and women that have to go to work the next day. Mm-hmm. I know when we had these calls, you know, last week, I was very tired coming in the morning, and just to have volunteers who, first of all, were just so grateful that they offer up their time to help out the community. But it's just increasing the impact on their lives, and you know, it's tough on the families just as well as on their work and things like that. So we have to plan for that. I mean, we have a career staff during the day, which is critical to have that. But at some point, and this is a normal progression for fire departments, you know, all volunteer, then you add a couple career personnel, and then you just keep adding. You try and maintain the volunteer staff as much as possible, because for a structure fire, typical structure fire, we need, you know, on average 16 people.
Wow.
You know, we can't afford to pay 16
right.
people to be there, because we don't have that many structure fires in the first place, luckily. So it's critical to maintain the volunteers, and that's an ongoing process. So that's something that we have to work at continually.
I guess I should talk to Boa or Pete. Uh-huh. I'm not sure, you know, what he wants to be called, but no,
yes.
I know. But do you know if there's a program in the school to like educate kids that might want to come out of school and be volunteers?
Well, that's one of the things that we had up in my previous department. We actually had a cadet class, which was a high school class. And so we tried to, you know, give them an exposure. They came out of the class after a year with their fire certifications, their EMT certifications. So, I mean, if they were looking at a career in the fire service, this was an excellent start. And the thought was, well, you know, if we can just get a couple that were really interested and want to, you know, start as a volunteer, that would be nice.
Well, and I think about your situation where you didn't even know that this was going to be your career path. I mean, you know, with your doctorate and so all of a sudden you found out this is something you really love. And I think a lot of kids, if they were exposed to it, might say, wow, I could really get into this.
Well, it's really changed a lot over the last, you know, 25, 30 years. And you look at the normal volunteer that we get today, usually a young man or woman that's looking for a career position. So this is how they can get experience. This is how they can get their certifications.
Although a lot of our volunteers here look like you and I.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
They do.
And those are getting fewer and fewer to get. I mean, you look at the young man or woman, young married couple. They got young kids. Used to be, you know, wife stayed at home and the man went to work. Now you got both working. Then you got soccer practice for the kids, or baseball and football, and they don't have time to volunteer. Yeah. So it's very tough. And then the young man or woman that wants to be a volunteer now, they want to be a career firefighter. So they're coming in, getting their experience. You know, if we can keep them for a couple of years, I mean, that's a bonus. But it's hard to get those people that are going to stay 30, 35 years, which is nice.
Especially in a small community, too. People like to rotate in and out, it seems like, a little bit more than some.
Absolutely. And the average age here is over 60.
Yeah.
And that was similar to, I thought it was bad in Camano Island. We were over, not bad, but just over 50 there. So your potential pool of volunteer recruits is smaller. I'm very thankful for the volunteers we have. And, yeah, there are some that look like us. Yeah. And
Pete's going to be needing a cane before long.
Absolutely, yeah, as me as well. So you go for everybody that wants to be a volunteer. And anybody that wants to be a volunteer, certainly contact us, and we can talk to you about the process. But, again, it's a continuing recruiting process for us.
Well, welcome to Florence. It's good to have you on board. And, you know, we'll just keep on rolling, and you got a lot of work ahead of you the next few months, getting inducted into everything.
Absolutely. It's something we enjoy. My wife and I are just so thankful to be here, and the people have been so friendly. It's almost suspicious how friendly everybody is. It's been fantastic.
Not like the Stepford, situation, right? No, we're pretty good around here.
And the weather's been great. And
yeah, you got lucky.
I know. We're Pacific Northwest natives, so we know the rain is going to be here. But this past week has been, we had the one very warm day. But this is our first time being right on the ocean. In the past, it's always been, that's where we vacation. So it's going to be nice to live here.
What's funny, I tell people this story, is that 2 years ago, I had moved away and came back. And 2 years ago, on April 28th, I came back. And it was just at the end of the really bad rainy season. I mean, one of the worst we've had. And I got here, when I drove into town, the sun was shining. It shined almost the whole summer. And I was telling everybody, hey, I came back, brought the sunshine with me.
Absolutely. I always tell my kids, it's always sunny here in Florence, so
that's
come
right.
visit.
That's right. We joke about it, about the rain, but we tell everybody it rains just so everybody doesn't come at once.
Well, and that's how come it's so beautiful here.
Exactly. Chief Michael Schick, thank you so much for stopping.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
In the next hour, we'll talk about the future of rods and roadies, and we'll talk to Matt House about LifeMed. We'll do that at the top of the hour after news on Coast Radio.